Hey, good morning, Authentic Life Church family, and good morning and welcome to those that are visiting or listening in for the first time. As a church, last week we began a short series focusing on our great God. And next week we're actually going to transition and look at the life of Jesus and his days leading up to Easter. So I am looking forward to that. But this series that we're in, this short series, last week we looked at Psalm chapter 23. A passage that many have memorized. Many of you guys are familiar with that. It's a passage that many read aloud or they go to during times of sickness or hardship. It's really a great passage for that because what David does in Psalm 23 is he directs our attention to how good God is, to who he is and how good he is. And so he describes God as a shepherd, as a good shepherd. He's the shepherd that cares for us personally. He provides for us. He leaves us nothing to fear, no matter what we're walking through. Why? Because he's with us, right? And that is a good reminder for us right now. In our world right now, many are fearful, many are worried, many are isolated, and most of us mainly are in our homes. We're unable to get out and do much, unable to get out and socialize like we're used to. And I'll just be honest with you, that leads many people to feel depressed and lonely and fearful. But God reminds us that he is always with us. And I just want you to know he's there with you. This morning, we're going to move on from Psalm chapter 23 to chapter 46. And so would you guys grab your Bibles this morning or your tablets or your phones and open up in your Bible to Psalm chapter 46. And this is another one of those passages that really reminds us during difficult times just who God is. It reminds us that we serve a God that holds the whole world in his hands. He's not distant. He's not disconnected. He remains in control. He's still sovereign. He is still with us. And so I just wanted to remind us something today. This virus or anything else that is going on in our lives today, none of those things caught God by surprise. He remains God through it all. And so when we look at Psalm 46 today, we don't know for sure. There's a few different ideas on what they're dealing with, but we don't know for sure the details of what's going on in the people's lives in this chapter. But what we do know is this. There was some sort of tragedy, some sort of national tragedy that they were dealing with. There was a tragedy and they were facing something that was shaking them as a nation and shaking them as individuals. Their lives were being rocked. I remember sitting and working on my computer at school September 11th, 2001. And we were watching things just unfold on our screen, right? We watched our nation, right, as we were facing that tragedy that just shook us. And one of the things that we saw happen was we saw people that actually flocked to the church. For a few weeks and for a few months, churches and prayer services were full because here's why. People didn't have answers. And they were seeking the one who did. Recently, it wasn't just our nation, but our world has been shaken. And the words we're about to read will remind us where our eyes and our hearts should be directed. And so if you would join me and follow along, if you want to stand, this would be the time to do that or stay seated. But we're going to honor God and his word, and we're going to read the first three verses of Psalm 46. God's word says this, Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that we can open up the word of God and just read what you have for us. We can read of your love for us. We can read of who you are. And God, this morning, we're going to open this up and be reminded of who you are and be reminded of what that means for us. Reminded that you are with us. So God, wherever we are today, we pray, Lord, that as we hear from you, we would have the ears to hear and have our hearts focused on you and what you'd have to speak to us today. God, we pray, Lord, that you would be honored in what is preached. We pray, God, that as we listen, that we would become more and more like Jesus each and every time we open up the Word of God, each and every time we hear it preached. And God, we pray, Lord, we'd be attentive and we'd hear what you'd have to say us today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we read this passage, there is one thing that we know for certain. All of us are walking through a trial right now, right? You may have something going on in your life that has rocked your world or caused confusion or questions in your life. And so you need to hear these words this morning. All of us are walking through changes and hardship because of the virus that's around us, right? Some are struggling with isolation. Some are struggling with balancing work, and they've got their kids home and they're trying to work and teach all at the same time, right? Some are worried about their paychecks. Are they going to get paid, right? They're worried about bills. And some of you guys are out there working extra hard to keep us healthy and safe. And so we say thank you for that. But all of us are walking through a trial. We're all walking through a trial. So this is a timely word for all of us to hear. And so as we study God's word together this morning, there are some truths that I believe and pray will encourage us and help us as we walk through any hardship or tragedy. And here's the first one. God is. Verse 1 begins by saying, God is. And then it continues to go on to describe who God is. But I think it's important for us to remember that God is. Right? In the midst of our everyday life, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of a virus that's caused fear and discomfort and sometimes death, it doesn't say that God used to be. Right? It doesn't say that God might be or that sometimes God is, but it tells us that God is. Our world is always changing. There are things around us that are always changing. And I'll tell you what, you go and you listen to the news at 9 a.m. and you learn one thing, and then you go and listen to it at 3 p.m., there's a change, right? It's just constantly changing. But God is still God. He's steadfast. He is unchanging. The nation of Israel in this passage, they needed to hear this word, right? Today, we need to hear this. Whatever we are facing in life, no matter how difficult it is or how hard it makes things, we can know, hear me, church, that God never ceases to be God. When we open up God's word and we read of God and who he is, right? We look throughout the word of God and we see that he's the creator and that he's the provider. We see that he's just and we see that he's holy. That he is good and that he's loving and that he's true and he's perfect. You look in some passages that tell us that he is all-knowing and ever-present and all-powerful. The same God that spoke the world into creation in Genesis is the same God that parted the waters for Moses, and it's the same God that came to save us. He is the same God today. And as I was praying and preparing for this message, the word that just kept repeating over and over in my head was the word steadfast. Steadfast, steadfast. God is still God, steadfast, never changing. This world throws a lot of things at us, right? But through it all, God never ceases being God. Please hear that this morning. With all the things that the world throws at us, God never ceases being God. He never stops caring for you. He never walks away. He never stops pursuing you or loving you. And I'm going to tell you, man, that's a word today that we all need to hear and know and believe. Here it is again. No matter what we face, God is. Many times, church, when there is a tragedy, when there's things in our life that scare us, or maybe there's hardship that we're going to, there's this thing within us, this tendency to run from God. We have this tendency not to run to God, but often it's to run to us. Right? Or run to something or someone else. We like to feel during those moments like we have control. I have a friend that shared some things online this past week, and here's one that he said. He said this. He said, something as small as a microscopic virus shows us that we are not in control. We like to have that control, though, don't we? We like to feel like we're in control. And I would say this, we even like to pretend like we're in control. But guess what? We don't have to pretend, because this psalm is teaching us that we are to run to the one that is always in control. And so when we read this passage, know that we are to seek God during this whole thing that we're walking through right now or anything else in our life. We're to seek God and see what He's doing. Guys, see where God is at work in your life, in your community, in your church family, in the world. God is still God and He is at work. He's right in the midst of this corona tragedy. He's right in the midst of anything you are walking through today. He's right here with us, walking through it with us. Throughout the Word of God, He calls us to seek Him. He tells us that we are to walk with Him and that we are to turn to God and trust in Him and to acknowledge Him. But far too often when we are having these moments in our life, He's the last one that we turn to. When we look at our own response to this pandemic, just think about how you have responded personally or your family or your neighbors have responded to this pandemic. Look at the response of the world around us. How are we responding when things get hard? Are we looking to us? Are we looking to Washington? Are we looking to someone or something else? Or are we looking to the one that has always been and will always be God? Are we seeking the one that's with us? God is, the Bible says. He is God, and He is with us even in the midst of a pandemic. Last week, we saw that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You, God, are with me. We're walking through a trial right now, church. Some of you guys are, it's bigger than some of the rest of us. Some of us are walking through some things that are really, really tough right now. And you need to hear this morning. God is still God. And He's right there with you through it all. And here's the reality. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to walk with Him. He wants you to look to Him. He wants to spend eternity with you. Guys, that's why Jesus came. Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is God with us. He came to restore that relationship with you that was broken because of our sin. And just a side question, do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Because when we are saved, the Lord is immediately with you and He never leaves you. Throughout these next few verses that we're looking at, we're going to see three ways that God is with us. We're going to see who God is, and we'll see that He is with us. And the number one that we see, besides that God is this. He's our refuge. That's what verse 1 tells us. God is our refuge. That word refuge is an important word. It's talking about a place of safety and a place of protection. It's a shelter. It's a place that we can run to when we are in danger from a storm. I remember when I was younger, I grew up and lived in the Midwest for the majority of my life. And so tornadoes weren't just something that we saw on movies or on TV or read about in a book. They were a real threat. And so they would have these alarms that would go off and these just high-pitched alarms that would go off. And a lot of times your radios or your TVs would send out what they call a tornado warning. And they were telling us, it wasn't telling us there might be danger. It was telling us there is danger. There is a dangerous storm. It is here. And my parents, if we happened to be outside for some reason or if we were in a different room, they would gather all of us together, made sure that we were inside. We would go down to a particular place in our basement. It was the safest place we could be during the storm. You know, it was a refuge. It wasn't perfect, but it was a refuge. And the psalmist is telling us God Himself, He's the one that we are to run to. He's better than a corner in the basement. He is our refuge. Just thinking about that word refuge for a second, Psalm 62:8 tells us this. It says, trust in Him. Trust in God at all times. O people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Here's what He's telling us. Because God is our refuge, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. I love these phrases that they use here. It says, trust in Him at all times. Trust in Him at all times. because he's our refuge. But listen to this one. He also says, pour out your heart. God is our refuge, so pour out your heart. Let me example to you what this means. I'm sure many of you guys have kiddos that love Legos. In fact, we've got adults that love Legos in our church. My second oldest, both of my boys just love Legos, but my second oldest, he's got this big tub of Legos. And when he decides that he wants to play with Legos, he doesn't just get one or two pieces out or the ones that he thinks he's going to need. He takes that big box of Legos, and what does he do, guys? Man, he just, hundreds of little pieces, just tips that thing over and just pours them all out. Keep that image in your head. And here the Bible is telling us, because God is your refuge, you're in that safe place, you can trust Him. And He's telling us, hey, while you're in that refuge, you can take all of you to God. During a storm and times of uncertainty, and really at any time, there's a lot going on within us. And the Bible says, just like my son does with the Legos, pour out your hearts before Him. This is how safe God is. He wants you to run to Him as your refuge. And He wants you to know that you can trust Him as your refuge. And He wants you to know that you're able to turn yourself upside down in His presence and just pour yourself out. He's even safe enough, church, to pour out your secrets and your sins. As your refuge, He is that safe. That's how safe He is. Don't hold anything back from Him. We can fully trust in Him. I remember when I was little and there was a tornado in the area, and we would go to our refuge in the basement, and I was in that safe place, but I also knew that I was in a place where I could tell my parents. I could say, Mom and Dad, I'm scared. Right? You ever done that and you just get that safe place? That's what God is saying. Man, God, in your storms, during this virus, during whatever storm you have in your life, He made you so that you would be safe with Him, so that He would be your refuge. And He's saying, come to Me. He's not telling us to run out for toilet paper, right? He's not telling us to glue ourselves to the TV for the latest news. He's saying, don't let the devil convince you to run from God. God says, this is who I am. I am your refuge. I am the safest place for you. I am your shelter. I am your hope. You can trust Me. And here is what we need to know. When God says that He's our refuge, that means something. It means that we need His protection. That's what that means. Storms are going to arise. Difficulty will come. And we need His protection. But the good news is that is who God is. He is our refuge. Here's the second one. Another one from verse 1 telling us who God is and how He's with us. Verse 1 says this. God is our refuge and strength. God is our strength. You could really write in there that He's your strength, He's your power, or He's your might. That's what that word means. It means power or might or strength. Have you ever said this when you're going through a storm in your life? You probably said this in the last couple of weeks as you deal with worry and change and stress and just hardship. Have you ever said, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can handle this. We've all said it, I think, right? But here's the truth. You can't. We can't. As people, as humans, we don't have the ability on our own to handle the evil in this world and the storms in this world and the difficulty that this world throws at us. But the good news is this. We don't have to, because He is our strength. I love what 2 Corinthians 12:9 says. God is saying here, He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. What you and I cannot do, He can do. Run to God as your refuge. Trust in Him for His protection. And know that we're not bothering God. Know that God wants you to run to Him. Right? He wants you to lean in on Him. He wants you to come to Him for strength, because He is our strength and He's our power and our might. Which also means this. We need His power. Right? As a church, as individuals, we need His power. And I'm just going to encourage you, pray and ask God for that. You might need to stop what you're doing right this second and just ask God for His strength to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with. Ask Him for His power for whatever it is that you're walking through. Text someone, get a hold of our church, and ask us to pray that with you. Even as our church, my family, our church, we've all been doing this. We're praying for our leaders. and those that are working against this virus. We're praying for God's strength for them. We're praying and seeking God to provide for them what only He can provide, to give them the protection and the strength and the wisdom during this tough time. We need His power, and He is our strength. And that leads us to the third one. God is our help. Verse 1 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Church, don't miss this. He is a very present help in trouble. Here's what this means. I need you to hear me on this one. Here's what this means. God is abundantly available to meet whatever need you have. Let me say that again. God is abundantly available to meet whatever need you have. Guys, we turn to all sorts of places and things and people for help. But this passage reminds us of something. God alone is our help. And when we know that, guys, that should just give us this peace. Remember, God is, right? He is still God. He is always available, and He is always enough. He's always enough. No matter what it is that you're going through, no matter how hard things are or how deep you're in, right? He is your help. And here's the reality. He will supply. He will supply. He is your refuge. He is your strength. And He is your help. And that leads us to this truth that we need to understand. And by the way, this isn't going to be one of those mind-blowing realities. This isn't going to be something that I came up with. You all are going to hear this and you're going to say, I already know that. But here it is. Here's the next truth. Trouble exists, right? Trouble exists. Verse 1, all of it, the psalmist tells us this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice that passage doesn't say if trouble, or if trouble were to come, right? It says in trouble, meaning this, there will be trouble. My pastor growing up, he was my pastor for 25 years, and he would say, church, every one of us is going to go through or is going through or has gone through a hard time. Everyone has trouble. And he would say something like this, you may have just come out of it. You may be in the middle of it. But if neither of those are true, just buckle up because here it comes. Right? What he was saying was basically this. He was reminding us that trouble exists in each of our lives. The word trouble here, whenever it says that he is our very present help in trouble, The word trouble here is used to describe a situation or times in our life that cause extreme discomfort, that cause extreme distress, affliction, adversity, anguish, tribulation, right? And it can come from disasters, it can come from nature, it can come from sickness, it can come from our enemies, it can come from evil. Here's the reality, trouble exists. And I just got to tell you, that was not God's design. He didn't create us so that we could have trouble in this world. But here's the truth. Because of our sin, because we would choose our way over God's way, because of sin, brokenness and trouble exist in our world. But the psalmist reminds us, God doesn't abandon us. God sees our sin, but He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't turn from us. Because of God's grace and His goodness, He is right there with you and us through it all. Here's the great part. Through every pain, through every sorrow, through every sickness, through every trouble, God is there. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And He is our very present help in trouble. The CSB translation, it says it this way, God is our helper who is always found in times of trouble. Sometimes in our lives, we've got all these people and things around us. But when we find ourselves in times of trouble, sometimes we look this way and we look this way. We look in front of us. We look behind us. And sometimes what we see is that all those that were around us have fled. Sometimes, because we're human and that's what happens, sometimes when we are in trouble, those things that we put our trust in, sometimes we put our trust in our jobs or our money or our retirement or our political party, right? And we see that they weren't as stable or trustworthy as we thought. But remember how this passage opened up. God is, right? He is and always will be. He will always be our comfort, our strength, and our help, no matter what trouble comes our way. So here's the reality. Trouble will come, but God is still God. That's just a good word today, church. God is still God because God is. Because he is our comfort, because he is our strength, and because he is our help in trouble. Look at verses 2 and 3 with me. The psalmist writes this, because of who God is, therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Look at this imagery we have here. It's telling us, even if the earth that we stand on, that we have so much faith in, even if it trembles, even if the mountains that have stood tall and mighty, even if they fall, even if the waters rise and cause these floods and destruction, even enough to shake the mountains, none of that changes who God is. Think through that with me. There are things and people in our life that we look at, and to us they are powerful, and they are mighty, and they are solid. And at times we place our faith in them, we trust in them, but then trouble comes. And the solid ground that we were standing on begins to shake. And it begins to move and it begins to crack. And the mighty and powerful things in our life that they begin to fall and they begin to tremble. And the raging waters come in, right, into our life, and they bring this fear and they bring noise and they bring uncertainty and anxiety and fury. But look at what it says. Hey, man or woman of God, have no fear, because God is. If God is your God, there is no reason to fear. Why? Because he's your refuge. He's your place of safety and protection and shelter. He's the one that will never shake or crack. And we can trust in him. If God is your God, there's no reason to fear, because he is your strength. He gives you the power and the might and the strength to walk through whatever it is to get through that trouble. And we've got no reason to fear with God, because he is our help in trouble. I remember the story from Mark chapter 4. We've looked at this as a church before. Well, it's one of my favorite stories with the life of Jesus. The disciples are out on the water with Jesus. He had just been serving and teaching and preaching, and so he's resting in the boat. And they're just out paddling along. I kind of feel that's where we were just a few weeks ago. We were just all just paddling along and going through life and just going to the next place and doing the next thing. And then all of a sudden, a storm comes. They weren't prepared for it. They didn't see it coming, but a storm comes in. And the waves are going, and the waves are coming up over the boat. The wind is blowing. It's threatening to tip them over. It's threatening to take their life. But Jesus, they call on Jesus, and he stands up and he says, church, he says this to the storm. He just speaks to the storm and the waves. He says, silence, be still. God is in control. He is still God, even in the midst of this virus, even in the midst of whatever storm you are walking through. We can walk through that and have faith in the Lord, because he is still God and he is with you. He's with you. One of the greatest examples we have of God being with us in times of trouble, I believe, is found in the Gospels. The Gospel literally means good news. I've always called it the best news ever, like the Gospel of Jesus. If there's good news, that means there's probably bad news. Means there's probably trouble. And the trouble and the bad news was this. Every single one of us, because of our sin, separated from God. We were made to be with him and to walk with him and do life with him and trust in him and follow him. But because of sin, we're separated from God. The Bible tells us that we're broken. The Bible tells us that we're slaves to our sin. The Bible tells us that we are spiritually dead. Because of sin in our life, we're separated from the God that made us and the God that loves us, right? We are separated from the God that is there to be our comfort and our strength and our help. I know this isn't popular to say, but that means that we're on our way to a place called hell. Church, I'm going to tell you, man, I would say that's some pretty big trouble. I'd say that's a pretty big storm. I would say that's some sad and bad news, right? But God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave Jesus. And whoever believes in Jesus, whoever believes in him, should not perish, should no longer be spiritually dead, but have everlasting life. Even though we were the reason we were in that mess, God shows us and he proves and he demonstrates his love for you and me. Here's what he did. Jesus came. He lived the life that we were not able to live without sinning. He suffered and died on the cross in our place. And he rose again. The Bible tells us this. Turn to Jesus. Call on him to save you. Call on him to be your Savior and Lord. And here's the great thing. He will, right? He will rescue you from your sin. And I love this. He saves us and he adopts us into the family of God. If you've ever adopted or just been a part of an adoption, you know how beautiful a picture that is. He adopts us fully into the family of God. And he promises to never leave us. He's always going to be with us. And one day when we leave this world, when our life here on earth is done, no more trouble, right? We will get to spend eternity with him if we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. It's the greatest rescue and love story ever told. And when we become his, when we turn to Jesus, here's the truth. We can walk through any fire. We can walk through any storm. We can walk through any trouble and not have fear. Why? Not because of anything that we've done, because he is with us through it all. He's never far. He never leaves us. He is our refuge. He is our strength, and he is our help. We're not looking at the entire passage of 46, but verse 10 reminds us this. Through times of uncertainty and fear, God says this. He says, cease striving and know that I'm God. Be still. Stop fighting. Cease striving and know that I'm God. As we continue to walk through this hardship and through the virus and the ever-changing news that surrounds it all, be still and know that he's God. If you've never trusted in Jesus to save you, we would love to talk with you about that. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to show you Jesus and how he came to save you. But here's the reality. Know this, that if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. We've got to realize that we're sinners, right? That we're in that mess, that we're in the storm, and believe that Jesus is God. Believe that he came and died on the cross for you and for me, and that he rose again. Why? So that we could be with him for eternity. So here's the question. During this time, during this storm, during this hardship, would this be the time you turn to Jesus to rescue you and save you? Will you trust in Jesus today? Maybe you're listening in today, and you say, you know what, I've been saved. I know the Lord Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my God. Here's a reminder for you this morning. Be still and know that he's God. See him at work around you. Ask him to use you during the storm. Call on him to give you peace. Guys, I think it's just really important for us as a church, as followers of Christ, as adopted sons and daughters of God, that the world around us sees us not fearing because we've got the Lord. I want to challenge you to see where God is at work around you. Church, you've got neighbors that are scared, that are struggling, that are worried. Point others to the God that loves them. What a great opportunity we have to live this out. We're in a time of fear and confusion and uncertainty, and many people's lives are shaken. Their foundation feels like it's rocked and it's cracked, and the things that were mighty and strong to them seem like they're crumbling. Point them to the God that causes us to have no fear. It's not because of anything that we've done. It's because the Lord our God is with us. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I'm grateful. We're grateful to be able to call you Father. When we deserve nothing, Jesus came to give his life. He saw the storm we were in. He saw the trouble that we were in. And he came and he rescued us. God, I pray, Lord, if someone is listening today, I pray, God, that they would know that they need you. Someone listening today does not know Jesus as their Savior. God, I pray, Lord, that they would just be still and know that you're God and that you came to rescue them and to save them and to make them part of your family and to have an eternity with them. So God, I pray, Lord, today that you would draw them near to you and they would respond and give their life to you and ask you to save them and believe that you died on the cross and rose again. Ask you to save them. God, I pray, Lord, for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus. God, help us have that peace that you give. Help us know that you are our refuge, you are our strength, you are our help. And we're in trouble now, and there's going to be trouble in the future, but God, you are still God through all of it. And we say thank you for that. You will never leave us or forsake us. You'll never abandon us. Never turn your back on us. Because we're yours, and you're with us. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give each and every one of us opportunities as individuals to love on our neighbors during this time, to go out and figure out a way while we're still being safe, to go out and figure out a way to serve them and love on them. God, give us opportunities to share the gospel with them, to share Jesus with them. God, we pray, Lord, you would use us during this time. Help us continue to still be the church while we're scattered. Be at work in us and through us, God. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.